gentlemen, Elaine Stritch at liberty.
We're speaking today with Miss Elaine Stritch, certainly a Broadway legend in my time, and continuing to wow them. Welcome to Crossover, Miss Stritch.
Thank you so much, Jill.
It's very exciting for us to see you doing a one-woman show at this stage of your life. You've won so many awards for all your outstanding performances, and you've been doing musicals and drama and just television and everything else.
Well, I've had a very varied career. I certainly will admit to that, and I think it's one of the things that stops you from big time stardom, which doesn't bother me at all because my life has been more interesting than most. I just think it's because you do. My point is, Jill, I think it's because you do a lot of different things. Your career is varied. It isn't, you know, one-dimensional.
Well, so. you're so versatile. And do you prefer one more than the other, musical to drama?
No. As Ferenc Molnár once said, the play is the thing.
Oh, right.
If the material is good, it doesn't matter whether you're talking or singing. If the material is good, I don't care whether it's a straight play or a musical.
Well, The Ladies Who Lunch, that wonderful song from Company, is a combination of, I think, drama and...
Absolutely. I call it in my show. Have you seen my show?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you bad girl.
I'm going to
the
come.
The last show you saw me in was Sail
Isn't
Away,
that
and
awful?
You played the harp in the pit. Are you allowed? Am I allowed to tell people that?
Yes, you certainly are, and I'm thrilled to be part of that.
Well, you're coming to the show here, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Please come back and say hello.
I certainly would be delighted
Good.
To. Really, thank you so much. Tell me, has Broadway changed over the years?
Jill, everything has changed over the years.
Especially us, huh?
Hopefully. If you don't change, I don't think you're worth 2 cents. I think one of the worst, insults you can say to anybody is, you know, when you hear in conversation, hello, how are you? You haven't changed a bit.
Right.
I think it's the worst insult in the world. If I didn't think I changed every day of my life, I'd be not very happy about it.
Well, it adds character and understanding, I guess.
Exactly, and it's impossible. If Broadway didn't change, it wouldn't be worth its salt. It's got to change. Times are changing, so Broadway will change. I said once to someone about a hotel I was staying in, and I said, my God, it's changed. Not the Four Seasons, I hasten to add. It's a wonderful hotel. But I was staying in a hotel on tour, and... which will be nameless, the Savoy, and and someone said, I said to someone, God, the hotel's changed, you know, because I hadn't been there since I lived with my husband there when we were married in London in 73. And it was a stupid thing for me to say, why wouldn't the hotel change? I said, the Savoy has changed, and my friend said, she was the sound woman on the show, her name's Marjorie McDonald, and she said, Elaine, the world's changed.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, really, when you ask a question like that, the basic kind of bazazz of Broadway has remained. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That kind of stays the same. It's a feeling. It's feelings, certain kind of feelings that never change. But certainly the material has changed, naturally. But it's a little different. I think maybe too much of one thing at one period. It's not as well balanced as it used to be. It's not as well balanced. A certain amount of, like when Tennessee Williams plays were on Broadway and Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals were on
right.
Broadway. Well, that was pretty plush times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more evened out. Do you understand what I mean?
Of course.
Now we have all English imports or all, you know, a lot of straight plays and no musicals and too many musicals and not enough straight plays. But that sorts itself out. It really does. The balance, it's not a very delicate balance, actually, to coin a phrase.
A very important phrase, because you won the Drama Critics Award for that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes, that was a nice honor, too. The Drama Critics Award is the nicest honor I think
you can get.
I'm sore at the Tonys because they wouldn't let me finish my acceptance speech.
That was their fourth Tony Award.
You know, I'll tell you what's changed. The lovely ambiance and intimacy of where the Tonys used to be presented, and now you go and get a Tony for the theater and Radio Music Hall.
Radio City Music Hall.
It doesn't seem right to me.
Well, was it seat 6,200, I think?
Something like that.
Yes, it does. But, I mean, how is it for an actor to go to Broadway now? What do you have to be to even attain that? Is it any different than years ago?
Well, I think you have to be full of courage. And as I said in the little bit of my speech, that they did let me get out on the television when a young usherette at Radio City Music Hall said, "Oh, Miss Stritch, I want to be like, you know, typical, wonderful young kid, full of enthusiasm." And she said, "What do I have to do to become a success like you?" she said. And my answer to her was, "Wear comfortable shoes." when you ask me about what do you have to do, you have to be strong and you have to be courageous and you have to really want it. Otherwise, it's not worth the climb. It really isn't. And I think people who are meant to get there and have the courage and guts and stamina to get there will get there. I don't think you can give advice of how to get to do anything.
What about talent?
Well, you know, that's a foregone conclusion. I mean, I think people know when they have talent. Mm-hmm. I think they do. They might try to push it, and they might say, "Oh, I'd like that kind of life." And they're going at it for the wrong reason. But if you have a burning desire to express something that's in you, and you want it badly enough, and it's good stuff, it's honest stuff, it's stuff that people will, you know, will maybe be better off for having heard or seen, then I think you got a pretty good shot at it.
Well, it's like the prostitute once said, it's not the work, it's the stairs. The costumes. The costume designer for company had me wear one white pearl earring and one gray pearl earring, and I do not know why. But I figured the part I played, Joanne, she drank, so one night she just mixed them up. Later on in the run, however, I was told to wear my gray pearl earring on my downstage ear. The scenery. Curtain went up one night at the Music Box Theater on West 45th Street. I played the first scene of Bus Stop with Phyllis Love. No laughs. Very strange. The stage manager had goofed. The curtain was up. The asbestos was down. The makeup. I hate it. I need it. The props. One night the property man...
Now, you were in London for many years.
Yes, I lived in London when I was married to John for 13 years. And I worked constantly, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, is there a difference between the London stage and New York?
It's more a way of life over there. A little bit too much emphasis on money over here. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten very cooperative, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't mean cooperative, I mean corporation-wise.
I see.
That was a Freudian slip. Cooperative, it's not. Corporation,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, everything is, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. It just goes with the territory, and that kind of change is inescapable. So you can either take that change, or it's the old heat in the kitchen or get out.
Right.
So it's up to you. It's up to you. I have terrible misunderstandings with producers, and, you know, I have to sit down at night by myself and say, look, which is more important to you? Winning that point with your producer, getting more money, or going out there on the stage and making, maybe 1,600 people feel better than they did when they came in.
That must make you feel terrific.
Ah, fantastic. And so, you can't say, oh, well, I can't do it because they're not paying me enough money, so I will not do this. I mean, if I were just doing a show that was, you know, just jokes and tricks, that subject wouldn't come up. But because I think I'm doing something that is worthwhile, I'm going to hang in. I'm going to hang in and do it as long as I can.
Now, the burning question, what is the difference between Broadway and Hollywood?
Oh, my God.
That's right.
You know, that's the answer.
Venus,
right?
And Mars, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's a different ballgame. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different attitude. It's a, you know, and that's what makes me so mad. The theater is, well, you know, I like both of them. I mean, I love movies. I'd like to do more movies. I think movies are just so fascinating. They're interesting, and I live on them. I love them. I love movies. I love television. It's my source of relaxation.
Well, I loved you in that film with Richard Gere most recently. What is it? In Autumn something?
Autumn in New York.
Autumn in New York.
Yeah, it didn't do very well, but it was a nice movie.
Oh, you always do well.
Well, no, I mean the movie itself.
Oh, I see. Okay. But
the one of the most thankless jobs in the world is to be good in a bad movie, because, or when I say bad movie, a movie that doesn't fly, that doesn't make it. I mean, you know, it doesn't do you any good at all, except your own satisfaction of having done a good job.
Which is probably what you've been feeling all the way through your career, is that you are satisfied when you do a good job.
Yeah, I'd like a little bit more payoff.
Well, the payoff is certainly your reputation, I think.
That's good enough for me at the moment, but I would like to start making some money. Jill, I think it would be so much fun.
Tell us a little bit about this show that you're doing now, the Elaine Stritch at Liberty. How did you conceive that?
Well, conceive it. I was born. I got a notice the other day, which I thought was very sweet, in L.A. This woman said, "This part, Elaine was born to do this part." I think it's so great because it is the story of my life. So it was a nice way of putting it. I felt like too many of my friends and too many influential friends and too many important friends and smart friends, just too many of them were saying, you've got to do this. Mm-hmm. You've got to do this. You've got to let a lot more people in on your life because it's interesting and it's extraordinary and it's something you must do. So I just got to thinking. And, of course, it gave me a chance to be my own boss, to do the material that I wanted to do, to be in control. And then I was lucky enough to find a brilliant director, George C. Wolfe, mm-hmm. who understood me and, you know, made me free and gave me, you know, a long leash and added things to my presentation that were just so valuable. I had John Lahr to help me with getting this thing together and on paper. I had a lot of help. I had John Schreiber, a wonderful producer in New York, who started me out on it in the first place, said, you got to do this. And he gave me, you know, walking around money for a year and a half to sit still and do it. And that helps.
Is it exhausting?
Yes.
It must
be. In a
be.
Word.
Yes.
Yes.
And how does that sit with you at this stage in your life?
At this stage in my life? At my age? Is that what you're afraid
at
to say?
At this stage in your
don't
life.
Don't worry about age with me. I'm not worried about it, so don't you worry about it. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I'm, you know, a little tired of all the talk about how can she do it. You'd think I was 90.
Well, no, it's amazing because I
or
know
100, the way sometimes people.
I must tell you, I know people of 55 who can barely make it around the block. So
well,
it's
we
really,
all do. We all do. Yeah. But that's a different life than mine. I've been walking around the block for so long, I can't stop. So, you know, I'm still in fine fettle.
Is it exhilarating to be doing this now?
You bet. You bet. So, or anytime.
So now you are you taking this on tour? Is that right across
I
the
am,
country?
I'm in the midst of touring right now. What the hell do you think I'd be doing in Philadelphia?
Now.
No, I love excuses to come to Philadelphia because I'm not just Can I say bullshit on the radio?
No, that's all right. We'll clean it up.
Oh, you will? Well, and I don't want to say it. But I'm not cartooning. I really mean it. I love this city and always have.
I must say, as someone who actually grew up in North Jersey and lived in Manhattan for so many years, I felt that Philadelphia, when I did come down here, was one of the best-kept secrets. It's a wonderful, wonderful town.
It is. It's just terrific.
And they will love you, I know.
I hope.
And what can I say? Anything after this, or aren't you looking that far ahead?
I'm anxious to know what it is. And it'll be just as much of a surprise to you as to me.
How much longer is the tour?
We don't finish till the end of July.
End of July, and where do you wind up?
I'm not quite sure. I think Washington, possibly Boston.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Jill, thank you for calling me.
And delightful, and good luck. It's
wonderful.
And
come to see me backstage,
I promise.
All right,
thanks so
terrific.
Much, Mr. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's get on with the show. Why not?
Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. www.wrti.org. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.